Following Jesus is not easy, though it has its easy times and seasons. Sometimes a song, an old country song, and I don't like country music. I'm not into country music. It always bothered me in the weddings that I've done in the past where they play country music. And I'm like, come on. I'm not going to go down that rant. But anyways, there's an old country song that just goes through my mind once in a while. I never promised you a rose garden. How many of you remember that song? I never promised you a rose garden. 1970, came out by a lady named Lynn Anderson, is what I understand. And I listened to the whole song, and I'm going, yeah, there's a reason I don't like country music. But anyways, it's a good phrase. I never promised you a rose garden. And I'm very sorry that someone may have suggested to any of us that when you come to Jesus, it'll be a rose garden. It'll be great. It'll be fantastic. But if you follow Jesus long enough, not because of Jesus, just because of life, well, sometimes because of Jesus, life is not easy. Anybody want to give an amen to life is not easy, even as a Christian? It's difficult. Certainly, there is beauty in the roses. Roses are a beautiful flower. There is beauty in life. The sun, sunsets, sunrises, the snow, the hoarfrost, all the different beauty. Eventually we'll get to see full forests and beautiful, like, it just nature looks great. And relationships and friendships can all be great. Life has its good things. And yet for all the beauty of roses, they come with thorns. Life comes with thorns. So take a few minutes around your table and just share what have been some of the thorns that you've experienced. Not your wife or your husband or your best friend. That's not included in this conversation. But what have been some of the thorns that you've experienced in your life? The tough times. I'm going to give you a few minutes. Just share around the table. What have been some of those thorns?
But I think that's like, has to have a lot of. It's my grandfather's.
stated.
That's the same.
In John 16, he says, in this world you will have trouble. In this world you will have trials and struggles. And as you follow along in the book of Acts, you'll see how many of the followers, from the very first time Jesus rose from the dead, and then right away, they have troubles, they have persecutions, they have difficulties. And it goes all the way through the book of Acts, all the way till 2024. Christians all over the world, and we're not immune to any of that, we have difficulties, and some Christians have intense difficulties that they have to walk through. Most of life's difficulties happen because of relationships. Friendships, work relationships, marriage, family, both those close and distant. Even sometimes you go through a restaurant, a takeout place, a drive-through, and they put the donuts all mixed up and then the icing is all over the inside of the package instead of on the donut. That's frustrating. But we have difficulties. Life can be so difficult that we will be tempted to abandon our faith. Life can be so difficult that we'll be tempted to abandon our faith. Each of us will come to a crossroads or two or three where we need to resolve to stay committed to Jesus. If you haven't already, most of us, if not all of us, will have those tests. As we've talked about in the last couple weeks, I've walked us through this whole idea of forgiveness in message number 5, and I'm going to end it today, end the series, the 5-part series on forgiveness. And it's those relationships and those tough relationships where we have to practice forgiveness. Forgiveness between us and God. And then walking us through how to receive or how to be forgiven between each other, how to give forgiveness to each other, and how to receive forgiveness, how to apologize to others, how to work through that even as a church, and how we encourage each other and work through. But those things, relationships tend to weigh heavy on us. And that's why God gives us the whole idea of forgiveness to pave the way and to give us peace, as we talked about in Hebrews 12, peace within our relationships. So I want us to just pause and pray again as we delve into this area of forgiveness. It's a huge area. I know that in countless conversations I've had with people over the years that I've been a pastor. I know it's a big deal. And so let's just pause and pray before we carry on in this message. Lord Jesus, thank you for relationships. Thank you for our families. Thank you for our marriages. Thank you for our friendships. Thank you for our colleagues at work. Thank you for the friends we have at school. And yet, Jesus, we understand that sometimes those can be really, really tough. I pray, Jesus, that you would give us a spirit of forgiveness. That we would be willing to forgive and to ask for forgiveness. And Jesus, that we would especially go to you every time we sin, we fail. We'd go to you, God, because you so desperately want to forgive us. So we ask that you would help us. And so in the name of Jesus, we speak against all strongholds and bondages of unforgiveness and bitterness, all evil spirits of unforgiveness and bitterness. And we silence you, we bind you, we cast you out of our church. We cast you out of our lives. We send you to Jesus to deal with. And Holy Spirit, I ask you to help us one more time as we delve into this area of forgiveness in our own lives and as a church. And I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. This is why forgiveness is so very important. And I think, in Hebrews 12, I think it may be the sin that so entangles us. It doesn't say what that sin is, but I wonder if it's one of those sins that so entangles us. We get wrapped up in this unforgiveness, and it holds us back more than sometimes we realize, and we need to throw off, we need to strip off that sin, that forgiveness off our lives. Forgiveness begins with our relationship with God. And we need the forgiveness of God for our sins because, as we talked about in that first message, there's a whole pile of sins that we've had and will probably do yet that need to be forgiven. God calls us to salvation and obedience while on this earth, and we struggle in our ups and downs, our discipline and our lack of discipline. We feel good and then we feel not so good. We sometimes feel cold, not temperature, but in our hearts. And we sometimes feel hot, and sometimes we're lukewarm. We need that forgiveness to continue to move in our life. Now, let me ask you this question. What if we feel hurt by God? What if we feel hurt by God? What if we feel let down? What if we feel that we have been left to fend for ourselves? God has left us, it feels. What if, I'll unpack it, but I'm just going to throw the question out. What if maybe we feel we need to forgive God? What does that do in our lives? Let's talk about that a little bit. Some of the struggles that happen in our life cause us to doubt God. Some of the difficulties in life cause us to question God. Some of the difficulties in our life cause us to maybe even be angry towards God. And sometimes, if we'd be honest, we would say, if I was God, I would do things a lot different. I'm just saying, that's sometimes how we feel. And maybe we've said it different. Maybe we've even said it to God. God, I don't know what you're doing, and I don't like what's going on, and I disagree with what's happening. And that starts to grow in our hearts and lives, and we start to doubt God and question God and get angry, and we start building that wall between us and God. Because we feel that God has done it all wrong. Let's put it into perspective, though. You have a choice. I have a choice. We don't actually have to follow God, you know. But somewhere along the line, you and I have made, I remember, and you remember probably, where we've made a commitment to God. God, I'm going to follow you. God, I believe in you. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to obey you. And then we gather Sunday mornings. It's good. It's good, okay? And we sing with Todd and Cody and Brandy and others. that lead us in worship of song, and a lot of the songs that we sing are, I'm going to follow you, I'm committed to you. And then life gets very difficult, and we question God, and we get mad at God. And that's just the way life is. Are you with me? I'm not beating us down. I'm just trying to unearth our hearts a little bit and go, I've never said it out loud, but yeah, that's the way I feel, Pastor Tim. I'm with you on that. Does God actually have the right to do with me anything he wants to do? Yeah, but not that. Oh, that's too much, God. Anything but that. But he actually has the right to do anything. He actually has the right to allow anything. If he's God, he's not this God. He's not this God. He's that God, that he actually can do anything he wants. Will we trust him? Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 7. This is the story of John the Baptist, the baptizer. I prefer to call him the baptizer because he's not a Baptist, he's not a Mennonite, he's not an Anglican, he's not a Catholic. He's a baptizer. Luke chapter 7, verse 18. The disciples of John the Baptizer told John about everything Jesus was doing. So John called two of his disciples. Sound like he had a number of disciples. Called two of his disciples, and he sent them to the Lord to ask him, are you the Messiah that we're expecting? Are you the Messiah? Are you the one? Or should we keep looking for someone else? I don't think any of us have actually here, gathered here, been in prison. I don't know what it's like. I've visited a number of people in prison, and then I could leave when I wanted. But I don't know what it's like to be in prison. And those prison back then were probably much worse than they are today. What does it feel like to be in prison for John the Baptizer? John's two disciples found Jesus and said to him, John the Baptizer sent us to ask, are you the Messiah we've been expecting, or should we keep looking for someone else? Now, come on. Did John know who Jesus was? Say it with me. Yes. I mean, he's the one standing, proclaiming, preparing the way of the Lord. He knew it. He baptized him. They were cousins after all. Did he know it in his head? Yes. Did he know it in his heart? Yeah. But the heart's where it struggles. And look at how Jesus answers this. At the very time, Jesus cured many people of their diseases, illnesses, and evil spirits, and restored sight to many who were blind. Then he told John's disciples, go back to John. Go back to John. And tell him what you have seen and heard. The blind see, the lame walk, the leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life. And the good news is being preached to the poor, being preached everywhere. And then he added, God blesses those who do not follow me because of me. Jesus looks at John. I know you're struggling. I know you're hurting. know the cards play out that eventually he's killed, he's beheaded. John is. And sometimes when we're faced with a difficulty, or we're even faced with death, I've talked to a number of people on their deathbed, and they have that question. All that I've believed all my life, is it really true? Because now the rubber really hits the road. And John is feeling that too. I believe God blesses those who do not fall away because of me. The other translations talk about not stumbling, are not abandoning, are not walking away. And then it goes on, and after the two disciples left, then he talks about a great man that John the Baptizer was. We call him Lord, and we've made commitments to follow God, to love God, to serve God. We have prayed and sung those promises to God. John struggled, which gives us permission to struggle. And I'm trying to imagine John going towards his death with resolve. I think he did. Will we? Jesus often talks about if we persevere. Those who endure to the end will be saved. That's a scary phrase that he gives us. Those who endure to the end will be saved. Church, together, let's endure to the end. So we're going to pray a little bit. You're not going to pray out loud. You're just going to quietly just follow along in my prayer for us. I want to lead us in a prayer where we repent of those thoughts, those questions, the anger, whatever it would be. And to lead us in a prayer as you just follow along quietly of just recommitting our lives to Him. So let's bow our heads. Take a breath, deep breath. Follow along in your hearts with me. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, God, we confess to you that we have not always trusted you, believed you, obeyed you. We confess to you, God, that we have doubted you, questioned you. Maybe at times been angry. Maybe at times, God, we've turned our back on you for a day or two as we enjoy some self-pity and some thoughts. Feelings we don't understand, God. You are God, and so we confess to you these sins and these attitudes, and we ask you to forgive us. And we turn and face you and say, oh God, help us, help me. Us to trust you. We say again that we believe in you and we will obey you. And we open up our hearts and our lives and say, we are yours. We are your servants. Do with us as you will. We give ourselves to you again. We give ourselves to you anew. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. I want to delve into one more area that is especially difficult. When we become a Christian and we follow Jesus, Jesus leads us into a group of people called the church. Yeah, the church is a great organization, a great body. But it has its thorns too. And I'll be the first to admit that a church is not perfect. As great as this church is, I love this church, it's not perfect. Because you and I are here. But what happens when we get hurt by a church? What do we do then? How do we feel? What do you do when a pastor has hurt you? What do you do when a church leader, an elder, a deacon, Sunday school superintendent, did, said, didn't do, didn't say something that hurts you? What do you do then? The problem is, and you know this, been church around long enough, you've known a lot of people have just packed their bags and checked out a church altogether or gone to another church. You heard about the guy who was marooned on an island. And finally, after many years, he was rescued. And in the meantime, he built buildings and then he built a church. That's where he went to church. And so eventually he was rescued. How many have heard this story already? Okay, good. And so finally he's rescued. The people come pick him up and they, oh, let me give you a tour of the island. Shows a couple of houses he built and his church. And they say, well, what's that building over there? Oh, that's the church I used to attend. Let me share with you probably the biggest experience that I've ever gone through. And this is not to compare with any of the stuff that you've gone through, but I use it as an illustration. And you know this, that 3 years ago, many of you probably know this, 3 years ago I was let go at the previous church. Probably the most difficult experience that Judy and I have ever gone through. It didn't work. I didn't fit. And there's a lot of things I've shared with a couple of you privately, but there's a lot of things that God taught me. If you've ever been, quote unquote, fired from a position, you know the pain that goes through. But if you've ever been let go from a church, either as a pastor or as a volunteer, you know that especially hurts. And I had to walk through a lot of feelings, a lot of unforgiveness, and a lot of bitterness that I held towards the elders. Stay with me, and if you're listening online, you stay with me. Don't turn it off yet. Man, it's been a crazy 3 years of journeying through this. I never questioned my relationship with God, honestly. There was a few days when I went into probably a really deep, dark hole. Deeper than I've probably ever been for a couple of days. I questioned a lot of things about my life. I questioned my calling. I didn't question God, so I'm thankful for that. But still, the feelings were there. And then God reminded me. Jesus says, who are you serving anyways? Oh, what do you mean? Are you serving the church or are you serving me? You? Really? Who gave you your call as a pastor, as a minister, in your ministry? The church or me? Well, you did, Jesus. So, I can do anything I want with you, can't I? I guess so. So what is it to you, Tim? He was firm with me over time. What is it to you, Tim, if I only brought you to that church for 21 months? What is it to you? What if I just wanted you for that season? Well, yeah, I guess that's... He says exactly. I called you there for 21 months, no less, no more. And I could go through a list of lessons that I learned during those 21 months and since. And then I realized, oh yeah, I am, and we each are servants of Jesus, that He can move us around. Remember Pastor Ray at Southland Church many years ago giving a really good illustration of Jesus as a shepherd, talks about that in John 10, as a shepherd over a sheep, and how there's different pens that he oversees, and he puts shepherds in each of these pens. And it's his prerogative to move pastors, shepherds, from one pen to another. So I can go through the list of all the different pens that I've pastored in. And so the last one, he says, I want you to move from Southland to Winnipeg Evangelical Free Church, and I want you to pastor them because they need you right now. I didn't know we were going through COVID. And so Jesus brought me from a great church and a great ministry over to this church to help them through COVID. You remember COVID? Toughest time, people don't understand, the toughest time for any pastor to lead a church. Incredible. And he helped me through it. We walked through it. And then it's as if at the end of it, it feels like, he says, Jesus said, thank you very much. And then he said to the elders, it's time for him to leave. And then I realized, okay. So he just wanted me, I've said this to some of you, he moved us from Southland to Winnipeg Free so we could move to Rosemore. I would have never moved from Southland to here. Sorry. Why? But he got me, got us from there to there, learned a whole bunch of lessons, And now he's moved us here. Only God. I've realized now, and I may have to have one more conversation. I've worked through a lot and I've blessed them and stuff, but I wonder if there's one more conversation I might have to have. The leadership actually did nothing wrong. They didn't do anything wrong. They were led by Jesus to say, Tim, you're done. And they're right. I didn't fit there. I fit here. But I didn't fit there, and I needed to learn some things. And so they finally said, Tim, it's time for you to move on. Difficult. Difficult. But we did. They didn't do anything wrong. They led, and they followed Jesus. For that, I'm grateful. Now, you take that illustration of all these different pens. I know, there's no chapter and verse other than Jesus is a shepherd. So I'm taking it a little further. Pastor Ray took it a little further. He said, okay, so he's going to move the shepherds around. But let's take that a little further. Can he not move sheep around? Does he not have the right, as you as sheep, following the shepherd, and he says, now I want you to move from this church to that church. And you can go through your whole list of, depending how old you are, how many churches you've been a part of. And how Jesus is moving you around. Will you trust him? As difficult? Sometimes you look at the book of Acts. You look at the book of Acts and the persecution hit. And then they had to flush people out because they were all going to stay. Could it be, it's not in my notes, could it be that some of the difficulties that you may have gone through in your previous churches was a way that God was trying to force you out to go to the next church? Much like the difficulties I went through. Okay, Tim, I need you to get out. You would have just set up camp here. No, I only wanted you there for a little time. I want you over in Rosemont now. Could it be? And maybe God's used the difficulties in your church experience to move you and teach you different things in your life. Could it be, church, that whatever happened at your previous church, God used to form this church? Does God have the right? Is Jesus building his church? Winnipeg Evangelical Free Church is doing amazing. Their next pastor is doing amazing. The church is growing. Your previous church is doing just fine. They're growing. They're doing whatever Jesus wants them to be doing. We may or may not agree with whatever goes on in any church. But that's not our business. Our business now, Jesus, what do you want the Rosenort Community Church to be and to do? Look over greater list of churches that you've attended? Are there some that you need to forgive? For some of you, you need to look at your previous church. Do we need to forgive? Let's pray. Jesus, we need your help. We need you to lead us. We want your help. We want you to lead us. We give you our hearts and our lives, like we said earlier. Work in our hearts in this area of forgiveness. We ask for your grace. We ask for your mercy. Oh God, you love us so much. And that's why you push us sometimes, God. Help us to fall and obey. In the name of the Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Todd, would you come up with the closing song? And then right after that, I have something I want to do yet. So, looking at the application, reflection. I'd like you to email me or do something. Just tell me how this series has been for you. I'd like to hear from you. If you need help with some of these things in forgiveness, I'd love to just sit and talk and pray with you about some of these things. And then asking God to continue to talk to you. What in this area of forgiveness do I need to still work on? And a couple of books I want to recommend. One is a book called Forgive that I've been working through. And so if you want to delve into the area of forgiveness, there's this one. Some of you have really struggled with God, and a classic, this is an older version, a classic is called Disappointment with God by Philip Yancey. And he probably is one of the best authors in my library. He's so real and he's so honest, but he really helps us. So if you struggle with disappointment with God, I really recommend this book. And then if you're just struggling with hope and wondering where God is at, Max Lucado writes great books, and this one, 3:16. You know where 3:16 is? The message of hope, the verse of hope. I'd encourage you to pick up, not mine, but you can take a picture of it and order it from Indigo or Amazon. All right?